Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, August 4th. Sorry, had to look at my notes there. Happy Resurrection Day. I'm so excited that we are walking through the book of Romans together. I hope that you're able to internalize some of the message of God's faithful love and of His forgiveness and the righteousness that we have because of Christ. In today's reading in Romans 9, 1 through 29, we're going to talk about God's selection of Israel and that not all of Israel is the true Israel. It can get a little confusing, but we'll take it slowly and ask the Lord to give us wisdom as we read His Word together. With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. They are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed His glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them His law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping Him and receiving His wonderful promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are their ancestors. And Christ Himself was an Israelite as far as His human nature is concerned. And He is God, the one who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Well then, has God failed to fulfill His promise to Israel? No. For not all who are born into the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. Being descendants of Abraham doesn't make them truly Abraham's children. For the scriptures say, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Though Abraham has other children too. This means that Abraham's physical descendants are not necessarily children of God. Only the children of the promise are considered to be Abraham's children. For God had promised, I will return about this time next year and Sarah will have a son. This son was our ancestor Isaac. When he married Rebekah, she gave birth to twins. But before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, she received a message from God. This message shows that God chooses people according to His own purposes. He calls people, but not according to their good or bad works. She was told, your older son will serve your younger son. In the words of the scriptures, I love Jacob, but I rejected Esau. Are we saying then that God was unfair? Of course not. For God said to Moses, I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it nor work for it. For the scriptures say that God told Pharaoh, I have appointed you for the very purpose of displaying my power in you and to spread my fame throughout the earth. So you see, God chooses to show mercy to some and He chooses to harden the hearts of others so they will refuse to listen. Well then, you might say, why does God blame people for not responding? Haven't they simply done what He makes them do? No, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? When a potter makes jars out of clay, doesn't he have a right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another to throw garbage into? In the same way, even though God has the right to show His anger and His power, He is very patient with those on whom His anger falls, who are destined for destruction. He does this to make the riches of His glory shine even brighter on those to whom He shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory. And we are among those whom He selected, both from the Jews and from the Gentiles. Concerning the Gentiles, God says in the prophecy of Hosea, those who were not my people, I will now call my people, and I will love those whom I did not love before. And Then at the place where they were told, "You are not my people," there they will be called children of the living God. And concerning Israel, Isaiah the prophet cried out, "Though the people of Israel are as numerous as the sand of the seashore, only a remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth quickly and with finality." And Isaiah said the same thing in another place, "If the Lord of heaven's armies had not spared a few of our children, we would have been wiped out like Sodom, destroyed like Gomorrah." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I told you today's scripture was going to be a bit of a doozy. In situations like this, I don't like to focus in so much on what I cannot understand, but more on what I can. This passage reminds us that God freely chooses to save whomever he wills, and that it is not because of our good deeds or our heritage. The people of Israel thought, "Oh, we are Abraham's children," and they thought that that was where salvation lies. But Paul, all throughout Acts and in Romans, is reminding us that our salvation, our righteousness, our standing with the living God is by way of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I'm challenged by Paul's missionary heart for his very own people. He says here in Romans 9, 1 through 3, that he was willing to take on the punishment of the Jews if that were possible. Listen to verse 3, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." This is a rare picture of love, the same kind of love that Jesus has for us, that sacrificial type of love. And so let us ponder, how concerned are we for those who are like us who do not know Christ? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your sacrificial love. We thank you for this opportunity we have to read your word, to struggle with it, and to remember that you are at work in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we ask, Lord, that they would come to saving faith in you, because we know that salvation lies in the name of Jesus and in the power of his resurrection, in your resurrection, Lord. And so we just thank you for that. And we pray even now for someone who comes to mind, and we ask that the veil over their eyes would be lifted. Thank you, Lord, for Paul's example. Help us to be a people who give of our time and resources so that others might know you. Lord, in these days, many are walking through difficult times. And we ask, Lord, for your provision and your power and your unfailing love in their midst. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.